इसकी तो जरूरत नहीं है। सो बिस्मिल्लाह रहमान रहीम, शुरू कर दूं? ओके सर, टुडे वी विल टॉक अबाउट इंशाल्लाह द अहकाम ऑफ मुख्तज़र
एंड मौत मींस डेथ।
मुख्तज़र इज द पर्सन हु इज this state of ihtidar. Ihtidar means ihtidar al-maut. That means arrival of death. In the state of the arrival of death, when the death is arriving in the final moments. Now this person who is in the state where the death is arriving is called Muhtadhir. 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 And the state is called Ihtidar. Now, obviously, when a person is in that state and lying on the bed, it is wajib on others around him to make him lie on his back . It's wajib on others to turn his feet towards Qibla.
These are two things which are wajib on those people who are around, surrounding that person. The women who are in najasat, must stay away. So this is the time where the angels are arriving, some of the angels. And this is the time where for the mu'mineen, the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam are also arriving for some of the mu'mineen. Imam Ali alayhi salam is there for sure, for everyone, mu'min. So we are supposed to stay, the women are supposed to stay away in the time of, in their periods in najasat time. Also it is mustahab, recommended, to read as-saffat and likewise Ayat al-Kursi. Ayat al-Kursi, I don't remember Ayat al-Kursi, but we recite Surah As-Saffat and also the Kalima, the basic fitness of about the three Misaq, Mis Tawheed, and Nubuwwat. And Imamat, and also we read the names of the Imams, names of 12 Imams, one after the other, and we read the Talqeen. We read the Talqeen, which we read at the time of his death in the grave, while burying him in the grave, after burying him, when he is laid into the grave, one after the grave is shut. So the same Talqeen we read, names of the Imam, Kalima, Surah Safat, and also there is a dua which is mustahab to be recited, which is found in every Tawdif al-Masail, Ya man yaqbalu al-yaseer wa ya'fu anil kathir. That dua is mustahab to be recited. So, yeah, that's the name of Sakarat. Ya man yaqbalu al-yaseer wa ya'fu anil kathir. Iqbal min al-yaseer wa'fu anil kathir. Innaka antal Afuwul Ghafoor, Allahumma arhamni fa innaka rahim. This is the short dua which is mustahab to be recited at the time of ihtidar. And obviously wasiyat needs to be done before that. Person should always have wasiyat ready. A mu'min should have wasiyat under his pillow. So we need to have wasiyat. We have to have our wasi. Wasi means the person to whom we do the wasiyat. So he is the executor of your will, wasi. Every mu'min should have a wasi, someone who is assigned already, who will execute his wasiyat. And then you have ishhad over the wasiyat. That means make two adil people, two adil men, shahid and witness over your wasiyat. So this needs to be done, it's mustahab. So this will take care of your hukukullah and hukukun nas. When you write down your wasiyyat, your loans, anything else, any obligations, liabilities, hukuk of Allah and people are already taken care of, written there. So kalima needs to repeat it over and over again. And we have hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Where he has said, "Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah." دخل الجنة. Whoever has his last statement, La ilaha illallah, enters the paradise. So anyone who says La ilaha illallah is the last statement of his life, he goes to the paradise. This is confirmed with the shara'it. Obviously, La ilaha illallah has its shara'it. So with the iman in the nubuwwat and the iman in the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. So this is what we do towards the muhtadhir person. Now when if the soul is not departing, the person is in lot of pain, then what we do is that we ask the parents. If the parents are not pleased, he would be unable to say La ilaha illallah. So we request at that time, we request the parents, father and the mother, to be pleased with him, forgive him. This is very important. If the person is unable to say La ilaha illallah, one of the very fundamental reason of that is the displeasure of the parents. Second of all, what we do is that if the person is in pain, we bring the musalla. Musalla means the prayer mat. The prayer mat of that person, and we spread it under him where he is lying on the bed. You put the musalla and his prayer mat under him, and it helps the person's soul to be taken out easily, inshallah. Then that option is not available. Yeah. Not in that room, stay in another room.
But she can be in the same house.
Yeah, in the house is not a problem. She should not be in that room.
So, sorry, if it's a wife or a mother or a daughter, somebody who is really close to that person who died,
should not come there. No, no way. The Ahlul Bayt come there. We don't come to Ahlul Bayt in the time of Najasat. We don't get close to them. No. When if there's the final moments of the life, no, she should not come.
Yeah,
then it's okay. When the soul has gone, now the Ahlul Bayt are no longer there. Now it's not a problem, yes.
So she can't be visited at the last
place. No. So, is that clear? So, this is ihtibar. And obviously,
can I ask another question related to that?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people, I think they don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
Your closest, your mother, or your
daughter. Walaikum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Walaikum as-salam. There is no kafara. The woman should not come close to the muhtazir person who is dying if they are najasat. If they come close, there is no kafara for that, but this is disrespectful towards Ahlul Bayt, because their souls are there, they are visiting the person if he is a mu'min and muttaqi person, and there is a benefit for that mu'min. Let Ahlul Bayt visit, you know, there is a benefit involved, a huge benefit for that person. And it's disrespectful for Ahlul Bayt, for any person, even a man who is in Najasat, in its Janabat, or a woman in Hayz or Janabat, should not get, or Nifas, should not get closer to the Ahlul Bayt in that time, to that person. Who, you know, we believe if he is a mu'min and muttaqi, Ahlul Bayt come and visit. So she should not get closer to that person in the final moments in Najasat. She should stay out of that room.
So he or she both.
Or if he has janabat, yes, he should also stay away. So, yeah, so this is...
Will you be repeating these kalima or names of the imam and keep repeating it?
Yes, names of the imam and kalima need to be repeated. Surah As-Saffat you can read once, and also Yaseen, which I forgot, I'm sorry. Yaseen is also mustahab to be recited at the time of Ihtidhar, Yaseen and Saffat. But Kalima should be repeated over and over again, and names of the Imam should be repeated over and over again to that person. So, this is about Ihtidhar. Now, when we have done, then obviously when the soul is departed, then these rules do not apply. You can move him, his body, his legs, feet, no longer need to be towards Qibla any further. So all these rules no longer apply after that. No, the body is not zahiran, is not najis.
But you have to
do you have to do the ghusl of masl mayyit. Zahiran is not najis.
It's a masl
mayyit. Yeah. You can say it's a kind of hidden jasad, but not the apparent jasad. Alhamdulillah. So now, let me erase this. Okay. No, what? Noha?
Noise. Like
noise.
Doing majlis or reciting noha or something like that.
Noise? Zikr of Ahlul Bayt is good, that's not a problem. But yeah, it's better that you recite the names of Ahlul Bayt. What the Sharia is saying. You keep on repeating the names of the 12 Imams. This is very important information because he is going to be asked the same names in a few seconds, after a short while, not seconds, but after a short while.
One more question. You were saying if these names are not penetrated into his heart, he would forget right after.
But still, it is, there is a hope that it will help him. Let's do our best. There is a hope that it will help him.
Once the person has died, do we still need to recite something or will stop?
When he's dying?
After the departure of the soul.
Oh, after the departure of the soul, then first of all, it is important to remember that nothing benefits the person more than his wajibat. And there is no question in the qabr about the mustahab things. Some people are focusing on the mustahab things. Let's read Quran for the Prophet. It's very good to read Quran. No problem with that. Because reading Quran is mustahab. First find out whether he has a wajib missing or not. This is more important. If he has a wajib salat or sawm or hajj or khums or haqqun nas, loan he borrowed or he hurt somebody's feelings, haqqun nas or haqqullah, the wajibat. Let's focus on the wajibat before we focus on reciting mustahab things and giving sadaqah. Very good to give sadaqah, but it's mustahab. It's not wajib. Nobody's going to ask him in the qabr, did you give the sadaqah? So why are you focusing, why do we focus on the lesser important thing which are not even asked there? Tilawat of Quran. Nobody, no angel is going to ask the dead person, did you read Quran? This is not the question in the qabr at all. For whatever long duration he is in barzakh, nobody asks him about tilawat of Quran. Yeah, that's not the question which is asked. That's mustahab. There is no question of mustahabat in the qabr. There's aham and muhim are upside down, for generally speaking, for some people. So in our society, so we need to focus on what is aham in the eyes of Allah, more important in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt. The more important thing is the wajibat. Mustahab things are never questioned in the qabr. The questions are only about some of the wajibat, not all the wajibat. The rest of the question are left on the day of judgment. Only some of the wajibat are asked in the qabr. And those some we need to focus on. Well, basically, it's about the prayers and the khums, wajib taxes, khums, fitra, and zakat. Zakat, wajib on those who are living in villages or wherever. So, wajib taxes of money, khums, zakat, and fitra, the prayers and fasting. And Hajj,
And likewise, it is about the huququn nas. Huququn nas. And the most important thing is about the three misaq and covenants of Tawheed and Nubuwwat and Imamat, the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. So that is the most important question. Tawheed and Nubuwwat and Imamat of 12 Imams. So this is related to the walayat of Allah, supremacy of God. So apart from that, huququn nas. The rest of the things are done, ask on the Day of Judgment.
Basically the best thing then would be to find out if they have any of these things due and get
Ahsant. Ahsan, that's the right approach. When a person who is near and dear to us, he dies, we are now supposed to focus on what is going to help him in the grave, not what we like. What is helping him is this thing. You cannot do anything about him. This is about his own aqeedah. He went away with his aqeedah. We cannot believe in Tawheed and his niyabat. We cannot believe in Nubuwwat and his niyabat. We cannot believe in Imamat and his niyabat. This is already done. But the huququn nas, we can do things to get him free if he has a liability. And likewise, prayers, we can help him. Zakat, khums, fitrah, we can help him. Hajj, we can help. Fasting, we can help. We can go to those people and seek forgiveness for him. If he hurt the feelings of some people in huququn nas, we can go to them and visit and seek forgiveness. This is more important than reading Quran for him, which is just mustahab. If they don't forgive, then obviously he will be punished.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives right to them not to forgive or forgive.
Huququn nas, Allah does not forgive until the people forgive. No.
That's the right.
We have some narrations about Day of Judgment. We are talking about the Barzakh right now, and the Qabr. In the Day of Judgment, we have some narrations that tell us that Ahlul Bayt, according to those narrations, they will give some of their good deeds to these people, and they will agree to forgive. Obviously. And that's how they would do shafa'at for the mu'mineen. But that's about the Day of Judgment.
So, if somebody who has done his fundamental stuff, like he's done his kalma, he's done his namaz, has zakat, khums, all that, but he had other sins, like no huququl, let's say he used to drink, or he was did zina, or whatever other sin he has performed. So in barzakh, he will not be punished? If he takes care, if let's say he's able to answer everything, he's got his clean slate for the salah and psalm and hajj and all that, how about other sins? Do they come into play in barzakh, or they are left for the akhirah, on the Day of Judgment?
Well, there are some other sins as well which are punishable. Which are obviously, all of them relate to the huququn nas, one way or the other. Yeah, ghibat and namima, chughal khori, a big issue of the qabr is that. So they are all related to huququn nas. Tuhmat, they all, one way or the other, they are connected to huququn nas.
So how about other sins? So those are the sins that are related to qabr, the barzakh that will be punished. How about other sins that are not, they are left on Day of Judgment, or he gets punished for all of his sin and
bazaar? The questions will be asked about various things in the Day of Judgment, but not every question, not about every single thing, because their mawaqif, this is just first mawqif. First mawqif is death. The second mawqif is qabr. And so all of Munkar and Nakir, now they are, total 50 mawaqif, so there are a lot more to go. A lot of stages remaining on the Day of Judgment. So there are just some of the things will be asked.
So Munkar Nakir is only one stage, first stage.
That's the second stage. The first stage is death.
death is part of the day of judgment. When a person dies, his day of judgment has started, basically. Qabr is the step number one of entering into the day of judgment.
So, Munkir and Nakir only comes in the Murafiqun's Qabr, or?
Munkir and Nakir comes for everyone else. For a mu'min who is muttaqi, he has Mubashir and Bashir. Munkir and Nakir are two, close and muqarrab angels of Allah, but they are karihul manzar. They are bad looking in their appearance. Both of them. So a person is scared, obviously. But Bashir and Bashir are good looking, and they come for a mu'min who is muttaqi. Yeah. Same question for same standard thing for everyone. A person who cannot answer to the basic aqidah, these three things. A person who cannot answer to the basic aqidah, obviously he will be punished straight away.
So he will not be going through the next stage.
Next stage is not required. Yeah, no.
He's done, basically.
He's done, yeah. This is the foundation. Aqeedah is the foundation.
So it goes to like a Pakistan custom
Well, just the names.
Just the names,
yeah.
Nothing,
just the names. Yeah, that's the taking the name there is depending on a person who is basically following their footsteps and sticks to their aqidah, can take the name. Otherwise, a person cannot be able to take the name.
Not penetrated. But the people who know the names but they don't have the hook,
they won't be able to say it. Of Ali at shahadat.com. Yes, why not? They will help, but they will help in the qabr as well, yes. But for certain sins, it is about the shafaat is for certain things only. For shafaat does not include for certain category of people, like for example those who consider the salat to be unimportant. They are confirmed in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that they are basically will not get the shafaat. So basically shafaat is for not for those people. Now, and obviously shafa'at is there from Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, but in the qabr we will be held accountable for our own, we are on our own for our sins, you know, the Hukukun Nas will be punished in the qabr. And in the hadith of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he says that atakhawwafu alaykum bil barzakh. That's the hadith of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Atakhawwafu alaykum, I'm afraid about you, in other words, regarding barzakh. So we believe in shafaat, but in the time of barzakh, Imam says, I'm afraid about you. So we are left with our own sins, basically. Inna shafa'atana. This is the our intercession. Will not reach the person who considers salat prayers to be khafif, means sabuk and less important. This is the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Please say salawat. So our intercession and shafa'at will not reach the person who considers salat to be less important or unimportant. Istighfaf includes both of the things. You know, if somebody considers less important, that's also holding salat as khafif, or unimportant is obviously included. So basically, shafa'at of Ahlul Bayt, this thing is mustasna from the shafa'at. So their shafa'at is confirmed, they will do, but they themselves have taught us that this category is not included. So,
again, one question. If one moment he believes the salat is very important, then in his life he is not able to perform all his wajibat and somebody else prays for him after his death, is he going to have punishable?
No, if he has the niyat, see, if we could not pray, but now I realize, so I need to have my niyat that I will start doing my qada prayers, for example, and then I start doing it. Niyat is, should be always in sync with the amal and action. So as soon as I get the chance, I should start praying it. Slowly, slowly, you can pray one day prayers in one day. Or, you know, so basically a person should do the niyat of fixing the issue and start practically with amal and action, start doing it. So as long as he has the niyat and action and he starts doing it, he could not finish. Rest of the salat can be taken care by others. It's wajib on the eldest son, but if there is no eldest son, there is only daughters, then it's not wajib on them. If they do it, they get the sawab, but it's not wajib on anyone else. So if anybody else is doing it, or the daughters are doing it, now obviously they get the sawab. But at least he had the niyat of doing it.
And he's not going to get punished before in previous his life?
Yeah, if he makes the niyat that I will now repair it and fix it, and he starts doing it, and he could not finish, then it's okay.
Then he has
he's now serious towards doing the salat, so he's giving importance. Yeah, qada is obviously a very clear example, but late is also a mistake that we are not giving importance to it. So, sometimes we have some emergency or urgency that's different. You are traveling in the plane, it is some issue you cannot do it at. A justifiable reason is okay, but without any justifiable reason, the moment should not delay it, without any justifiable reason. Because that shows that we are giving less importance to that.
If you're at work and you can, but it's hard for you, and you can come home and crave in time, then is that person
Yeah, I think in work we should pray. Yeah, we should pray at work, even though you have to pray it very fast. That's okay. Even remember in the Salat workshop, I mentioned the statement of Ayatullah Al-Uthma Sayyid Qadi Tabatabai, where he has said that even if a person prays in the Awwal al-Waqt without the khushu of qalb, still it is better than praying it delayed from the Awwal al-Waqt. So it's a very big statement, and without the khushu, Salat is not accepted. But when such a big arif says, you know, that even if a person says the salat in awwal al-waqt without the khushu, that's still better. So awwal al-waqt has an extreme importance level in Islam. Even if we have to end up praying faster later on. If I get to my home, I can pray slowly, you know, with khushu. But here I have to do it very fast. But still, that's superior in the eyes of Allah.
What if a person is too loud while
Islamically we should do that, Islamically we should try to do that, unless if you have a justifiable excuse, you know, really cannot.
How loud you're supposed to be when you're reciting, you're reading namaz for fajr?
Your johar of sawt should be clear, like, and you don't have to scream, but at least like I'm speaking, so you can hear your own voice with your johar of sawt visible. For the Dhuhr and Asr and the last,
Maghrib,
the cuts of Maghrib and Isha,
third and fourth. For Maghrib
is like more than whisper. Like we are speaking right now, this is called with the Johar of the Sot is clear. So if you whisper, the Johar of Sot is not clear. Like Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, that's not clear. So you cannot understand how the voice of the person is. The voice is thick or thin, or you know, whether it's a male voice or a female voice, you cannot understand in the whisper. But when we are speaking like this, this is called Johar Sot. I mean, Johar is clear, the essence of the voice is clear. When this Johar and essence is clear, then you can understand whether the person is a male or a female, voice is thick or thin, you can understand.
You don't have to scream.
You don't have to scream.
Yeah. So, there is a person in the room also sleeping with you, is that Shia?
It doesn't matter, but you have to say it with the Johar Sot. You can hear your own voice that much loud. You don't have to scream, but you can hear your own voice. If you intentionally say your wajib, your fajr prayers or first two rakats of Maghrib Isha, intentionally you say the Fatiha in the next surah slowly, your salat is batil. If you remember, forgot and you say it slowly, as soon as you remember, start saying with the loud voice. Don't have to repeat the previous if you forgot. So, wajib ghair fauri, wajib ghair rukni. Well, the point is that a person who gives importance all the time.
if I give importance to something 5 times and then another 5 times I don't give importance, then this is not counted that I, then there is no difference in my eyes between this thing being important and or unimportant. So when a person who has belief in Allah, he always will do that. Sometimes we may delay for some justifiable reason, that's a different thing, but otherwise without any justifiable reason, it should not happen. Sometimes we may do sins as well, we are not masoom, but then again we do the tawbah and again we correct our behavior and do it. That's okay, we do the tawbah and that's still very good. Allah loves the people who do tawbah. In Allah yuhibbul at-tawwabin. So Allah loves yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Let me correct that. So Allah loves the people who do the tawbah. So sometimes if we make a mistake, we correct it. It's good, we do the tawbah, but otherwise intentionally we should not do something which is disliked.
So if we make mistake every day and do tawbah, that's not tawbah.
If we do mistake every day after doing tawbah sincerely, but then we do tawbah again, that's still okay. But not a tawbah which is like a lip service. This is not considered to be the tawbah. If we do a tawbah every day because I do sins every day, but every time I do the sin, I sincerely make my mind, then again I end up doing a sin, but again I do the tawbah sincerely. That is still okay. This kind of sincere tawbah, very soon I will get rid of the sins because I am sincerely doing the tawbah. For a short while, maybe I keep on doing sins, but because every time I'm sincere in my tawbah, in a very short while I will get rid of the sins. But if a person is not serious in doing the tawbah, then this is basically faqad istahza'a bi nafsihi. He is making fun of his own self, because Allah is not going to accept this kind of tawbah which is not serious.
So mustaghfir bis salat is something that could be remedied with repentance, like if you do tawbah
this behavior is disliked by Allah, and it is mamnu. I'm not saying that delaying of the prayers from awwal al-waqt is haram, I'm not saying that, but it is disliked by Allah and it is mamnu, it is condemned, but not haram, not to that level. So it's not haram, but it is disliked by Allah. But remember, when we are talking about shafaat, we are expecting extra favor from Allah. I did the sins, I did violations, so I am not going to be forgiven until I get an extra favor. In order for me to get an extra favor, I need to give importance to those things which Allah holds importance. For the rest of the things, I may have faults in it, but for the most important thing, I have no fault. That's how I can attract an extra favor. Because what Allah considers to be most important, at least I did that much. For the rest of the things I may have sins, but that thing I protected. Then I deserve an extra favor.
But basically the eligibility can be regained if you start giving importance to salat.
Correct. It can regain any time. Penetrated, it penetrates through ita'at and obedience.
No other way. They are false in ita'at, their mistakes in ita'at.
Yeah, no, obviously we are sinners, we can do mistakes, but we always do the tawbah, so that's how we get corrected. So, man ahabbana falyamal bi'amalina. That's the hadith of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Man ahabbana falyamal bi'amalina. Whoever loves us must do the action according to our action. So love, obviously we are sinners, but we should always sincerely try to obey them. That's the real proof of love.
وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.